Praise the Lord. Let's look in our Bibles then to Isaiah. I'm going to read to you quite a few different prophecies, because these prophecies from the Old Testament prophets, they were looking forward to the time when Messiah would come. And we'll look at different aspects here, but just was a blessing to me again to just look at it. And I just entitled this, The Birth of Messiah. And so, Isaiah 7, verse 14. See, God told Israel what to look for Messiah. And when Jesus came into this earth, they rejected him. They crucified him. The Jews were instrumental. They were the soldiers that went out there to that Garden of Gethsemane and dragged Jesus back there before the high priests and beat him and all that stuff that they did. Then they finally take him over to Pilate because they realized they could not kill him themselves. So they screamed and hollered and said, crucify him, crucify him. If they'd read the Old Testament and really had their hearts open, they would have known that he was the Messiah. But they didn't look. They didn't see. So look at Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And see, it was God with us. He was incarnate into that little child being developed in that womb of Mary. And she was willing to let that happen. That was a very hard trial for her. Remember that she went off to her cousin Elizabeth's house? Elizabeth was pregnant and going to have a little John the Baptist before long. She was an older lady that had never had children. And Mary went over there for a while and came back home. And Joseph was about ready to disown her. But you can read that in the book of Matthew where we will read that in a moment, where the Lord spoke to Joseph. Because the Lord had a plan that God the Father would be the father of Jesus and Mary would be the mother. And last week I talked to you about the genealogies. You see, Mary was a child that went back in her lineage to King David. So was Joseph. But Joseph was not the parent of the child. It was Mary that was the child's mother. And through her, then the lineage of Christ goes back clear to King David. And as you read prophecies and things, you'll see quite often it says, Jesus, the son of David, Jesus, the son of David. That's the prophecy. And it happened. Praise the Lord. So God is with us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think most of you realize that the name Jesus is the Greek form of that. And it really is like the name Joshua. That's Jesus' name. The famous man Joshua that led the children of Israel into the promised land. And so God had Jesus named that also. So let's go into our Bibles and to the book of Matthew. Matthew, and we're going to go to chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 18, and it tells us right here, many of us have read this over and over all the different years that we've known the Lord, but we're going to read it again. Verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her of a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while that means privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. See, there it is again, son of David. Joseph was of the lineage of King David. If the king had been on the throne, Joseph probably would be king. But we know that there was a problem with Solomon, the son of David, and so after that, the Lord just kind of dispersed of that. But Jesus is of the son of David. He is the son of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bear forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And in, I mentioned a while ago, it's Jehoshua, J-E-H-O-S-H-U-A. That's what his name is in the Hebrew. Praise the Lord. For he shall save his people from their sins. See, from the very first, it was told to Joseph that Jesus was there for a purpose. He was going to be there for a purpose that was to save the people from their sins. Not just to be a cute little baby on Christmas Day. That wasn't the whole idea. The whole idea was that he would grow up and become the sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this is the one we just read, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call him his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, which being interpreted is God with us. So Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He exactly fulfilled and followed exactly what God told him to do. In Luke 1:27, we're not going to turn there right now, but it says there, a virgin, that Mary was a virgin espoused to Joseph. So this was a supernatural birth. No one else in the history of the whole world has ever had a birth like this, where God actually was the father of the child. Isn't that something? Now let's go back to Micah. In the Old Testament, it's toward the back of the Old Testament. One of the prophets there. We're going to go to Micah. And we're going to go to chapter 5. Now see, the Jews should not have been so ignorant. But it shows they didn't go by the Bible. They had their own ways by this time of processing whatever they did in the temple and, you know, all of this stuff. And they weren't really following the scripture. So here we are in Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. See, he was God, but yet he was man. And this was prophesied in B.C. 710. That's a long time before Jesus was born. Isn't that true? Praise the Lord. That prophecy, and yet they didn't follow it. They didn't look for it. Praise the Lord. The word Ephrata there means fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The Lord was going to bring forth a Messiah. So praise the Lord, he did that. From everlasting. So let's go to the book of Matthew. This is going to be a scripture scramble. Okay, let's go to Matthew now, and we're going to be reading with chapter 2, verse 1. We're just going to read the first one of those verses there. No, I guess I'll read to verse 8. Okay, so Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's why? Because he was of the lineage of David. If the crown, as I told you last week, if he had been just a human being at this time, Jesus would have been the rightful heir to the throne of David. Isn't that something? Let's look at chapter 2 of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This was a wonderful miracle that God allowed as this brilliant star for these astrologers of that day to see this great outstanding star, and they knew right away. Some people believe that these people are descendants of Daniel. You know, he was very, very godly man, and that there were these astrologers and people from that era that just carried on through. So I don't know, but that's one thing I've read. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with them. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When it says Bethlehem there, this word actually means the house of bread. And it was where David had had a place there, that he lived there. He was born there, actually, and was then chosen as the king of Israel. And so Jesus Christ is of the lineage of David, directly for the crown that the Lord is going to give him. Okay, now, let's not look this one up, but it's in Numbers 24:17. You can look it up if you want to. This is that man named Balaam, and he's talking. If you know the Bible, you know they tried to get somebody to curse Israel so that they could, you know, conquer Israel. And so this is what God showed to Balaam, that he shouldn't curse Israel. Numbers 24:17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Not in the near future is what that meant. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And in verse 19 it says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. See, that was given to this man. You think, why did God give that to him? I mean, he was trying to curse Israel. But the Lord showed him that there was going to be a Messiah that would come, and would come like the star out of Jacob. So that big star that got in the sky that night, and those wise men, it was more than a night they saw it, because it took longer than that to get where they were over to here, you know. But praise the Lord that the Lord has that scripture there to show us that the prophecy was really happened. In Psalm 2, 6 and 7, let's turn to that. Psalm 6, he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. And I wrote in my margin that this word means that it's eternal. It's an eternal decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. See, Jesus came as a little babe. God begot him as a child, as a little human child. This day is the day that I have begotten thee. Praise the name of Jesus. Only have three more pages. So last week we spoke of Jesus the Nazarene, the Nazareth person from Nazareth, and how they belittled him and didn't appreciate him, and says, how can any good thing come from Nazareth? Look sometime and see what Nazareth is today. It's nearly all Muslims living there. So we're going to go back to Isaiah 9. Go back to Isaiah 9. See, this is a test this morning. It's to see how many of you can find these scriptures. The 9th chapter of Isaiah. If you think I'm being too silly in the pulpit, you let me know. Isaiah 9:2. It's better to laugh than to cry. Okay, so it says, the people in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So that's a prophecy of Jesus, isn't it? And then notice down there in verse 6 we read last week, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So did God meet his end of the deal? Yes. He caused this little baby to be born of a virgin birth. Mary suffered a lot because people didn't understand and didn't want to believe what God had told her. But praise the Lord. Now let's turn in our Bibles to John, the first chapter. We read there that the people that have walked in darkness are going to see a great light. John, the first chapter. Jesus, John, one of the disciples, wrote this book. And he lived to be way up in age. He suffered in the Isle of Patmos in the prison. And he wrote the book of John and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation as God revealed to him. So we're going to begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." See, this is the Lord Jesus Christ that was in from the very beginning with God, his Father. "All things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And we find that in Colossians also. I believe it's the first chapter toward the very end of that chapter that it says that Jesus created all things. "All things were made by him." Notice this in verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That means that the darkness could not lay hold of the light of the Lord God. It was so bright to see the Lord Jesus, and they rejected that light, didn't they? "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." The Jews rejected him. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Oh, those scriptures are so precious. Now we're going to go back to Zechariah. We have a couple of scriptures in Zechariah and then one in Psalms. So let's go back to Zechariah, and it's the latter part of the Old Testament. I like the book of Zechariah. I haven't taught that in quite some time. The 9th chapter we're going to read. The latter part of Jesus' life, the scripture says that he rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey. Remember that? And the people were waving the palm leaves saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." There are people there that knew he was the Son of David. Now that's significant because that's what the scripture says is going to, who's going to be the king, is the Son of David. Even in the Old Testament, in the process of all these years, and here we are almost to the tribulation, and Jesus Christ is going to reign one of these days. Praise the Lord. So look at this scripture now in Zechariah 9:9, and it was written in B.C. 487. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. What is really interesting is that in the New Testament, it mentions this colt there too. Whether he was riding on the colt or he was riding on the donkey, but praise the Lord, the mother of it. But anyway, this is a prophecy that has come to pass by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then while we're here in Zechariah, we're going to go to chapter 11. I know that many of you have studied the Old Testament. You know that there are prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament that are processed. They're there in the New Testament. It's absolutely been brought about, and some that will yet be brought about. Now, this is chapter 11, verse 11, we're going to read. It's talking about here how that in verse 10 that the Lord had a staff that was beauty, and this, it speaks of union. I don't know where I got this, but I know I look up things, and that's what it said there, that it spoke of a unity, and it was cut asunder that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. Now, if Jesus Christ had been accepted by the people of Israel, that would be it. There wouldn't be any church age. The Israelites would have accepted Jesus as their Messiah, and that would be it. But what happened? They rejected him and even dragged him off to be crucified. And so, notice verse 11, and it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. The poor of the flock, those that were considered not high people, you know. The religious people were all against Jesus, except maybe one or two. Who were they? Those two men that helped him out with a grave and everything. But the majority of all of them were just not believing in Jesus at all. But it was the poor of the people that were the ones that received Jesus. The ones of the disciples, they weren't wealthy men. And the Lord blessed them, and also others that were just really not very, didn't have much, you know, goods like we think we have to have. Verse 12, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed my price, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. That really has nothing to do with this prophecy of Jesus there, that last verse. But what I want you to notice is the 30 pieces of silver. This is prophesied 487 years before Jesus. That was exactly the price that they paid Judas to betray Christ, 30 pieces of silver. And, of course, we know then what he did. He threw them down upon the ground. He cast them down. And when he cast them down, they said, what do we do with this? The Jews said, what do we do with this money? Okay, let's buy a potter's field. This potter's field was probably where they gathered clay and stuff like that to make up their pots and things like that. But also the word potter signifies a potter. Being a potter figures a person who is very, very poor. And so the poor didn't usually have a place to be buried. So the potter's field was brought about so that the poor would have a place to be buried. Isn't it something for the prophecy to be that far ahead? And yet they didn't read it. The Lord caused them to do it, that they designated that money to the potter's field, but they didn't even know they were fulfilling the scripture. That shows how serious it is to not know what the Word of God says. It's so important that we do that. Now, I have one more scripture, and I'm going to let you go. I'm almost on time. Let's look at Psalm 22. In the book of Psalms, I think all of you are aware that many, many of the Psalms are speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us and all the things. But in this verse, in this chapter 22, in Psalms 22, this one speaks of the death and suffering of Jesus. And if you will look, beginning with verse 11, be not far from me, it's like he's talking to God, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. I have written in my margin that these bulls are, they speak of satanic powers and forces that are coming against the Lord Jesus Christ when it was time for him to be crucified for our sins. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Now, did that happen at the time of Jesus' crucifixion? Yes. He was thirsty. He was so thirsty that he said, give me something to drink. And they put a sponge up to his mouth that had vinegar on it, I think. Anyway, his flesh just was drained of every bit of energy and strength that it could have. My strength, verse 15, is dried up like a potsherd. See, like an old piece of broken pot. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. All happened, didn't it? Prophesied a long time before it happened. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. Now the Lord counts his people as sheep. He doesn't call us dogs. But people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are considered dogs to the Lord. So we are the sheep of his pasture, the scripture says. For dogs have compassed me about. That's the unbelievers. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Why couldn't Israel see that when that was happening, that it was the Messiah that it was talking about in the Old Testament? See, it was like they had blinders on. They couldn't see anything, couldn't hear anything either. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. It happened. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my darling from the power of the dog. Now, people believe that the darling that he's talking about is the bride that he will have one day, that the Lord deliver the process, the procedure that was going to bring about that also. So anyway, that's some of the prophecies from the Old Testament. And what I just wanted to emphasize to you is that even verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So when the Lord was resurrected from the grave, he did that very thing. He came out and he told them what the Lord was going to do. And about 50 days later, he ascended into heaven and he's there. And one of these days, he's going to come back. How many of you believe that? You better raise your hand. Praise the Lord. The Lord is so faithful and so good. Hallelujah.